shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere to take you places other talk shows cannot take you. And we do that each and every night here. We're very happy to be with you. You can join us at philhendryshow.com as well and watch our live video cast of the show. And I have to tell you, I'm a little taken aback here as I start because I just looked at that video of that father beating his daughter, that judge. And if you know, if you're on the fence about this stuff, and where is it, bud?
The one that said about the judge beating up the girl.
I know, it says judge beating daughter, is that it?
Yeah, it's a judge beating daughter, and then it's a douchebag. You look for under D-O-U.
What do you mean D-O? What do you mean douchebag?
Oh, I'm sorry, I mean judge.
I could probably find him under douchebag. I looked at this, and if you don't know the story, and I'm probably getting us discombobulated, but it's top of mind for me right now. If you saw the story, you saw a story of some judge. They call him a judge. They identify him as the judge because that's a significant thing to identify somebody as. You know, in other words, this was a judge that was doing this to his daughter, and he was a family law judge. At first glance, or perhaps when you first hear of the story, you may think, well, you know, look. I'm sure these things are misunderstood, and when a parent needs to discipline a child, we can't interfere with that. And, you know, when you see that, you're probably not really looking at what really went on. Well, I can tell you right now, we had it online on philhendryshow.com, and we've got it online right now. The lights go off in the room. I don't know if any of you guys are watching, but the lights go off in the room, and eventually the father comes in, tells his daughter to lay across the bed, and then begins to wail on this child with this belt like a sadistic. Like, I'm telling you, this guy was not disciplining his daughter. He's using vulgarity. He's using the F word. He's telling her he's beating her with relish. You can see him on the video that we're showing right now. Can you hear this? Listen. Yeah, okay. That's about all we need to hear, this scumbag. So I don't want to take too much time on this, other than to say that I have to tell you, and this is probably not a responsible thing for me to say, but I will tell you this in all honesty. I wouldn't physically assault this man if I saw him. I would not do that. But I would very much give him a piece of my mind. And a guy like this, he probably wouldn't even like that. He probably cannot abide someone giving him an opinion.
Yeah, but some guy's going to say an opinion, and he's going to go, you know, draw down.
Yeah, skin that smoke wagon, you know.
Yeah.
What do you mean, skin that smoke wagon? What is that?
You know, throw down, boy.
Were you guys watching Tombstone again? Get out of here with the Tombstone, okay?
Yo, skin that smoke wagon, man.
Yeah, throw down, boy, or are you just going to stand there and bleed?
So in any event, skin that smoke wagon. I'm not talking about gunplay here, guys. I'm just talking about an honest reaction. I would say something to the guy. I would say, hi, you're the guy that beat your daughter. Yeah, yeah, you know, look, pal, leave me alone. Well, I just wanted to say, have a nice day, douchebag. Unreal. We will talk about that. In fact, that we probably ought to just jump into it right now, although I don't really know what to say other than it's a very shocking thing. We'll talk about it later in the show. Why don't we just reserve comment until later in the program? I can tell you that the man's name is William Adams, his wife. And by the way, the mother, you know.
Yeah, that's the worst.
The mother is standing there watching this happen, and she's also laying into this girl and saying, see what happens when you're on the computer? Yeah, and this guy is a real classic moron. I mean, there's a certain, I'm telling you right now, there is a certain profile of a real meathead idiot, and this guy is standing there, and let me just tell you what it is. He stands there with his hands on his hips after he beats the hell out of his daughter to the point where the girl is laying on this bed crying. I don't know how anybody could stand hearing their own child crying like that and not just be destroyed by it, especially if you caused it. He stands with his hands on his hips, and he says, that's the last thing, we'll put that computer. And he does have a Southern accent. I'm not saying that Southerners are like this. He just happens to be, it's Texas. And he says, that's the last time we put a computer. See what the computer did? See the problems that it causes? Yeah, that's right, man. The computer made you take off your belt and beat this girl like you're Captain Bly or something, man. What is up with this guy?
Yeah, man, it's like Captain Bly mutiny on the Bounty or something.
Yeah, almost like she's eating dry biscuits and got to clean the decks.
Well, I don't know about that, but I, you know, in other words, it was a wholesale beating, and then in comes the mother, and she's some dumbass looking woman, and she's saying, "See, I told you," and she's wagging her finger. Well, this guy, and then here's the worst part: the parents leave the room, and you think, okay, mercifully, it's over, and the girl is whimpering in the dark. And then I looked and I realized, oh my God, I've only looked at 2 minutes of this thing, and there's a whole seven, it's a whole 7.5 minute video. And sure enough, as soon as I say that, the father walks in, and this is what he says. I'm totally giving you the straight. He says, "I didn't get my licks in." And he's coming in like a big bullying brute. Here's a woman, a female, a girl, and he's coming in, striding in with a belt, like a real badass, you know, "I didn't get my licks in," and starts wailing on her again. So this is not a case, folks. I'm telling you, I'm a guy that believes in keeping children in line. I don't personally believe in corporal punishment, but I am not here to say that, you know, a paddling is, I'm not going to judge anybody who does that if it's, you know, something that is not a sadistically issued thing. I understand there's differences of opinion, so I'm not here to judge people that this is not corporal punishment. This is a sadist beating this child because he had a bad day, because he's a scumbag at heart, because he's done it before. Why do you think this kid set this camera up?
See, I was trying to figure that one out, what she set a camera up for.
Well, she set it up because maybe she was doing like play act things, you know, making a film for TV, for high school.
No, man, she set it up. What are you guys talking about?
Why'd she do it?
Because she knew her old man was going to come in and beat her again.
Oh, you think that was... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She was doing something for school. She set the camera up because she knew that her father was going to come in and beat her ass again. So this is obviously something that went on in this home. Now, this is 7 years ago, and this young lady... And let me just make sure I've got my... Hillary Adams is the daughter... She said, and her father said, the beating took place as punishment for the then 16-year-old Hillary illegally downloading from the internet. It was shot in 2004 by a secret camera Hillary set up when she anticipated her father might beat her. She said the beatings were a regular part of her life during those years, and she did not publish the video until now because she feared it would incite more violence, according to the interview. Totally understandable. Another fight was getting out of control, and I knew the beating was coming, so I just waited, Hillary, Adams said. Hillary and her mother, Hallie, have since moved out of the family home. The family's not said where a younger daughter, age 11, is living. Gee.
Uh-oh. You think she's living with the guy?
Well, we know that family is no longer together. And here's this mother, this Hallie Adams. If you see this tape, she's enabling this creep. It could be because he whacked her around. The Arkansas County Court, and by the way, folks, the reason why this guy hasn't been arrested is because there's a freaking statute of limitations on this thing. That's what I believe I've read, and I don't understand that or believe it. A Texas family law judge's daughter recently videotaped him savagely beating her 7 years ago, whose daughter secretly, I should say, won't face criminal charges because too much time has elapsed. So in the state of Texas, there is such a thing as a statute of limitations on the physical beating of a child. And folks, I'm here to tell you, if you see this tape, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not one to be touchy-feely about things. I personally think the best way to discipline a kid is to simply take stuff away from them.
Like what?
Like, you don't get to use the car, you don't get to use the computer, you don't get to watch the TV, you do, and you do well, and you get. You don't do well, and things are removed.
But that's sadistic. Because...
What do you mean it's sadistic? What's sadistic about that?
Well, what if kids got a game of... If you got a game of Myth going with a kid in Chad, let's say... Okay,
hold on for a minute, hold on. If I got a game of what going with who and where...
If you got... Say you're playing a kid in Chad and a game of Myth.
Say I'm playing a kid in Chad in a game of Myth.
Yeah. Now,
Well, hold on for a minute. Why would that matter if I'm playing some... What, you mean Chad, the country in Africa?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Well, in other words, all life is supposed to stop as we know it because I got a game of myth going with a kid in Chad. Get out of here, will you? Yeah, let me tell you something. That is what gets a kid's attention. If he doesn't have his computer, he doesn't have his... In my day, it was probably my music, my freedom, a lot of stuff. But these people decided that they were going to beat the living crap out of their kid. And I'm telling you now, I can't see how that wouldn't leave a scar looking at that. And as a matter of fact, let's get Dr. Jim Sadler on the phone. Our doctor in San Diego, Bud. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure will.
And Bud, by the way, when you're calling him, don't go, hey, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah, man, we're on the air.
I know you're on the air, but what do you want me to do?
Just be quiet about it, because I'm still... Anyway, so later on in the program... But don't whisper loud either.
Okay. Yeah, Dr. Sadler. Bud
Dickman. Wait till I go into the break, okay?
Okay.
We'll get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line to talk a little bit about this. The issue of corporal punishment is one thing, but beating a kid with relish and what looks to me like this guy's enjoying it, especially when he comes back to the room with the I didn't get my licks in, like some dumbass redneck, I'm telling you. Which, by the way, folks, when I say dumbass redneck, I'm not meaning because he's from Texas. I mean dumbass redneck applies to anybody that's a dumbass redneck. And, brother, I'm broadcasting to you in California right now, and we got more per capita out here than anywhere in the world. So we got our rednecks. And a lot of them are very fine people. I'm talking about dumbass redneck. That ain't good. So Hillary Adams says her parents were angry because she had downloaded pirated content online, and that she turned on the camera because she sensed something was going to happen. Kids are doing that. It is against the law, and we should teach them not to do that because it is a violation of the law. A lot of kids do download pirated content, and they do not only for music, they do it for films and so forth. Whatever the problem, this kid was not murdering somebody. She wasn't sticking up an old lady in the street and taking her handbag and then pushing the old lady down in the snow, you know.
Would have been better if she'd done that, you know.
How's that better?
Well, no, I mean, I agree with you, but somehow I think if she would have pushed the old lady in the snow, it wouldn't have been as bad.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Why do you agree with that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, she's stealing stuff online. You were talking all about copyright and everything.
Yeah.
I know, guys, but that's different, okay? I don't give a damn if she's stealing stuff online, you discipline the child properly. If she shoves an old lady down in the snow and stakes her handbag, you turn her into the police.
Why not just beat her?
You get out of here. Why not just beat her? All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Get Dr. Sadler, world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're here every night, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. Check out our live streaming video of the show right now. We'll
Truth
be back.
Is our bitch, the Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, is our call-in line. And we have on the line with us from Sandy. We'll get Dr. Sadler up on the line here in just a moment. Dr. Jim Sadler, as we continue discussing something that I find very distressing, and you will too if you see the video of this girl. Her name is Hillary Adams being beaten by her father in this videotape. Police are not filing charges against this man. The girl videotaped this because she had been beaten before by her father and had been beaten in this manner. When you see it, you recognize that this is not a disciplining of a kid. This is a man who is a sadist, who is allowing his mood to dictate how he's going to discipline this kid. He's just angry and is beating on her with a belt. Far more than probably she needs. The crime is downloading illegal content, illegally downloading content from the internet. We're not talking about porn here. We're just talking about illegally downloading, I think, music. But nonetheless, what this guy did, it looked very sadistic. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us. How are you, Doc?
Very well, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
And are you familiar with this case?
I am. Saw the news reports and did see some. I saw a little bit of an interview with the young lady.
Have you seen the judge interviewed?
Well, I have not seen the judge interviewed, but I do know that he said that he was merely disciplining her. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. His daughter is obviously being seen beaten. And he said, I believe the quote here, Phil, is, in my mind, I haven't done anything wrong other than discipline my child after she was caught stealing. And I did lose my temper, but I have since apologized. This is him talking to KZTV television.
Do you think that there should be a statute of limitation? The statute of limitations should be lifted on this kind of thing?
Well, I'm not law enforcement. I'm a doctor. I think that you can go either way. Certainly, we've all lost our tempers with our children. You put it very well. You don't want to have your mood dictate how you are going to discipline your child. If you're having a bad day, that may not have anything to do with your child. You should treat that child objectively. And I say that even though I know that in my own life I've struggled with issues of controlling my temper with my young, I have a young wife. But I'm being honest with you when I say I've never struck her, I've never struck my child.
You have a young, and how does that, how is that similar?
Well, my wife at the time when I married her was very young.
How old?
She was 19. She was 19.
And how old were you?
When we got married?
Yeah.
I was 49. We have been married 4 years. Her name is Isabel. I don't know whether I should give it. I don't think she'll mind. I think we have a very good, we have a marriage like any other marriage.
Well, that's a big age difference. And do you think that is similar to a father and a daughter?
I think that Isabel, when I first married her, I'll give you an example. She had come home with packages from the mall, a shopping mall, and she rather carelessly threw the American Express card, on the table. And it was my American Express card. I didn't even know it was gone. And I went into the bedroom and I saw that she had. I looked at the receipt. She said, "Here's the receipt," and it was for somewhere close to $2,000. She had purchased clothes. And I said, "Well, I guess if you needed clothes." And the only thing she'd purchased was a pair of shoes and a sweater for $2,000.
$2,000.
That's right. That's what set me off. And what I did, and because I'm a psychologist, I probably have a better, I can handle things better than a lot of people when it comes to this. I turned around and I remember grabbing the door jamb, and I felt myself squeezing the door jamb. And but I always believe it's best to release stress that way. And I was angry.
Now, you were angry at her for spending all of this money.
Yeah. Well, first of all, taking my credit card, spending all that money, and spending it unwisely, in my opinion, on a pair of shoes and a sweater. That's what caused me to become enraged to the point where I needed to turn around. I needed to just get some alone time with myself. So I remember squeezing the door jams very tightly. I felt the sweat, and I felt it pass. And she knew that this had passed for me. When I turned around to address her and I had calmed down, I think she saw that I had calmed down too much because she wanted to provoke me. And that's when she reminded me that before she met me, she'd been living with a African-American black man. And I had to turn around again.
Wait. Why is that an angering thing for you?
Well, I have to say that I know for you, Phil, you may, for the purposes of your audience, and you may have to pretend like it doesn't, but it does bother a certain segment.
No, I'm not pretending anything. I'm not pretending anything. I had a girlfriend in Atlanta who dated a black guy before me.
And did you strike her?
No, I never struck her. I never hit her. I didn't do it. Hold on. We'll be back with Dr. Jim Sadler as we talk about losing your temper with your child. In this instance, him losing his temper with his young wife. And just as he was calming down, she reminded him that she used to date a black guy. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line from San Diego, Dr. Jim Sadler, as we talk about the prominent Texas judge, the family law judge, who was videotaped by his own daughter beating her with a belt. Now, I witnessed this before I went on the air. I watched it, and I played a little bit of it on Phil TV in HD, and so people with a subscription to our website got a ready-made look at it, and we played it at the beginning of the show. This was quite a very difficult thing to watch, and it was a difficult thing to hear. This child is crying. She's screaming as she's being beaten repeatedly. The father leaves. The mother comes in. She's in her own sadistic way enabling all of this, talking to this girl, regardless of what she did, you know. And now, Dr. Sadler, you and I are talking about something about your own family.
But Phil, I wanted to interrupt you. Just when you said regardless of what she did, and I am in full support of you when you say that corporal punishment is not the way that we should go with our children. And I agree. I do agree. We do lose our tempers, and we are provoked. And in the case of my wife, who I know she's not my daughter, but when she sent to me, after she had used my credit card and she purchased $2,000 worth of clothes at very expensive department stores in the Los Angeles area, I was very tense. I felt my hands sweating. It was a very classic moment for me.
Well, did you feel you were going to strike her?
No, I never, ever, ever have touched my wife that way.
But you were, you had to turn around, you said.
Yes.
And at one point you said you were squeezing the wood on the door jamb.
Well, yes, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be violent. I was controlling, and that's what you tell yourself. Control, control, control. You keep using that word until you feel it begin to just sift out or blow away. And I had it, I had the lid on it. And
well, you had the lid on, Dr. Sadler, understand, I don't know, what did you have the lid on?
I had the lid on my legitimate rage that she had taken my credit card, spent $2,000, and bought shoes and a sweater. Okay?
And then, okay, but you're not telling me, is there an end?
I didn't put my hand on her because I know how to control this. This is very normal for men, and I'm surprised that you yourself don't have some technique.
Well, Doc, I've never struck a woman. I've not ever done that.
Well, you've told me you have anger issues, Phil. And
well, you know what, Dr. Sadler, I told you that in confidence.
No, you were not a patient of mine.
I told you in confidence that I had anger issues.
Well, No, that's not the client-doctor relationship does not count if you are not paying me. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't pay me anything. And
it doesn't hold that if I'm just asking you advice and you give me advice, that's not a privileged.
You have a radio show, so I'm. How is it privileged when I need to bring up these things in order to defend myself?
All right, I don't know. Let's just leave it at that. But in any event, I told you that I had an anger problem, and you told me, do you hit anybody? I said, no. I said, I've never wanted to do that.
Well, what about other men?
When I was younger, not anymore. Now I'm a grown-up guy, and I got to work in a grown-up world, you know, and you can't go around laying into people. But I will say this. Not that I did that as a young guy, you know, but I'm simply saying, that your reaction to your wife spending this money seemed a little extreme.
But you're not hearing me. I kept it under control. And then she saw that and decided to up the ante. She wanted to throw more money on the table. And you could almost see her saying, all right, let's see what it, you know, let's see what you're made of. I lived with a black guy before I met you. Once again, I had to turn around.
Why is that a problem for you?
Why is that a problem for me? So you've never met guys that...
I might have met guys that are emotionally out to lunch. I might have met guys that are so insecure that it's sad. I might have met a lot of guys, you know, talking about a lot of things. You're a psychologist, you know.
Well, I don't appreciate you saying that I'm out to lunch.
I'm not saying that, but I'm wondering why you...
Well, you said that you've met guys that are emotionally out to lunch. Have they said that they had a problem with their woman being with a black man?
I have never had a friend like that. I probably have heard other jackballs say something like that. I told you I had a girlfriend in Atlanta who was in tears one day as she told me, I want you to know that before I met you, I dated a black man.
She had sensitivity for your feelings.
I didn't give a damn. I said to her, what are you bawling for? It's fine. I don't care.
Well, you know, Phil, I can only go so far with you, unless you're willing to be honest. And
I'm being honest. I didn't care. So you're telling me you do.
I'm saying that it is normal for some men in a certain situation where there is a provocation going on. I knew she wanted to up the ante, and I knew that she...
When you say up the ante...
I mean she wanted to keep making me angry, all right?
Okay.
So I told her, you know, I've calmed down, and she said, really? Well, she said, take a suck on this. I dated a black guy before, I lived in a black village. She didn't say that. She said that she lived with a black man. And
she lived with a black man before she met you.
That's right.
Take a suck on this.
Yeah, she said, here, I'm going to take a hit. Now, here, take a hit on this. I live in a black village. I'm sorry, Phil, I keep going to that because I had been watching Mondo Cani.
What, before you came on the air?
Yes.
Mondo Cani, by the way, folks, is...
I can explain it if you want.
No, I just lit my... Mondo Cani was a documentary from the early 60s that had quite a bit of footage of African...
Yes, African villages. And it's very, very reasonable for a man such as myself to, when I have a wife trying to provoke me into violence by saying, and one more thing, good-looking, I lived with a black man before I met you, it's very reasonable for me to transfer that in my mind into I lived in a black village where the chieftain would have me in his lodge at night or whatever. So
it's very logical to have that transfer in your mind from boy, I don't get it.
Well, again, so you have to do the work that I've done. But the point that I'm making is that I had to turn around. I had to grip the door jamb again. I went into the bathroom. I coughed. I coughed up just a tiny bit of blood, and I was fine.
And what was the blood from?
It was probably because I was hyperventilating, that I think that I had dried out my larynx, or dried out my wind, or my air to the windpipe is what I'm trying to say. So I said to her, you have tried to provoke me, and it has not succeeded, and now you've tried to provoke me by reminding me that you lived with Mark, which was the name of this guy.
And I got to keep coming back to this thing about you getting upset with that.
Well, I don't know why.
Why I don't get upset? Do you believe yourself to be a racist?
No, I am not a racist. No, I am not a racist.
All right, so, but your wife living with a black guy, or as you put it, living in a black village, because you just watched my...
Are you laughing at me? Because if you're laughing at me...
I laughed a little bit, yes.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah, you want me to get him back, or...
No. Don't get him back. 877-876-PHIL. No, you don't have to get him back, because I think I've gone as far as I can with the doctor. And I don't know how it is he doesn't think I'm not going to laugh at him saying, excuse me for saying, Black Village, I was just watching Mondo Cani. Margaret Gray joins us from Santa Monica. You heard the conversation, Margaret, and you've also followed this story. What are your feelings? Was I too rough? Was I inappropriate with the doctor?
Well, Phil, I don't think you were inappropriate. I do think that men misunderstand the... I think that men misunderstand the relationships that we have before we marry them. I told you, and I told Frank, and Frank's here, and we're having a very lovely evening in, that before I had met Frank, as you know, Phil, I had a relationship with a Greek gentleman that I met at the Olympics in Salt Lake City. Not at the Olympics in Salt Lake City. It was at the Mexico City Olympics in 68. I was a 20-year-old woman. I was there as a greeting girl for the U.S. Olympic Committee. I was with what we called the red, white, and blue hello dolls. And we were there at the airport, and we were greeting the team members. I met a Greek gentleman who had a concession stand. He also had a Greek restaurant in Athens and wanted me to come back with him and so on and so forth. It was terribly exciting for a young woman of 20. I got to see the how he prepared the food. I went with him to buy food. I saw the Greek booth that he set up in the concession and the people that worked there. He made himself cucumber sandwiches, or the kebab sandwiches. And this is something you can never, ever, ever explain to a man. But when I met Stavo, and we did become intimate, and I don't think that I'm talking out of school here, Phil. I'm trying to let you and other men get an idea of why it is we are attracted to these exotic ethnic types.
Look, you don't have to explain. You don't have to explain to me.
Well, there's other men in your audience.
No, I don't think you should have to. I think we need to grow up as men, as white men. I know there's a lot of white men who got a mental problem with this. I mean, a real... If you ever meet a white guy that has a problem with his woman having been with a black guy, he's got a mental problem. He needs a doctor.
Well, then you're saying that my husband, Frank, needs a doctor.
Were you with a black guy?
No, I told you I was with a Greek. A Greek.
Not much difference between...
Well, okay. In your mind, Frank, there's not much difference?
No. I mean, he was with this Greek, and she was eating a sandwich.
I'll do it. And so what Frank is saying, he doesn't think there's one. The ethnic difference is all that is required for some men, and they literally go mad. They go mad with jealousy. They go mad in 100 different ways. So I met Stavo. I saw how he set up his stand.
Yeah, no, you were in the Mexico City Olympics as some kind of a protege?
No, Phil, I was a hello, red, white, and blue girl for the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Okay.
We did become intimate, and he had the habit, and it was terribly exciting, and I think that probably only women would understand this, but he had the habit of eating a sandwich that had heavy cucumber sauce on it as we made love. Now, I know that sounds strange.
Yeah, that sounds real strange. Don't tell me you found that... Wow.
I understand, Phil, and believe me, I understand. But women that are listening, they know what I'm talking about. It's very, very exciting. We are, as women, we love the very exotic and romantic touches that a man brings. American men, you know, we love them, and they are our men, but they don't have that. And
wait a minute. This guy is eating a sandwich while he's making love to you.
He was eating a sandwich that had heavy green cucumber sauce, so it would drip out of the sandwich. And it was very exciting, and when I told Frank this, he went wild with jealousy and said some very things I know you regret now, Franklin.
I said that I thought they were all gay.
Well, believe me, they're not. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Let me ask Frank a question. Frank?
Yes?
Did you, and by the way, how are you, sir?
I'm better than Custer, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Did you understand this whole sandwich with the heavy cucumber sauce?
I don't understand what he's talking about. He said he met this Greek, and he went back to her apartment with him. Or he went back to her apartment with her, and
He went back to her apartment.
You know, he has a gender confusion. He means that Stava went back to my apartment. I went to his apartment.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what I said. So, and while she's making love to him, she's eating this sandwich with the green cucumber sauce that dripped all down her face, I guess, and she had a beard, so it would drip through her mustache.
Can I talk to Margaret, please?
Why?
I just want to talk to her, please.
What's up?
Nothing. I can't listen to him. All right, so thank you very much.
Well, you didn't get to the, we didn't get to the good part. So the green cucumber sauce is...
Yeah, I understand. Thank you very much, and good evening.
Yeah, what about the cucumber sauce?
Who cares? So Margaret Gray joining us to give her commentary on how did we get to a Greek making love to a 20-year-old American woman while he's eating a sandwich, and we were originally talking about...
Yeah, but you're laughing about it, man. It was not right for you to laugh.
I was laughing about the fact that Frank's got gender confusion and the cucumber sauce was dripping down her beard, okay?
Yeah, but that's understandable if you're going to have a cucumber sandwich.
What's understand? Are you understanding what I'm... God, I'm gagging here, man.
What are you gagging on?
Yeah, better swallow that.
I'm going to kick somebody's ass. Don't be a smartass. I was laughing at the fact... never mind. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Got lots more to come. We have a commentary from an anarchist who was at Occupy Oakland over the last couple of days and was causing some problems. Herman Cain, how does he get out of the problem that he's in? We'll talk with Harvey Wireman, our attorney contributor on our show. And we'll also talk to Don Mixer this evening on being an anti-capitalist who happens to do very well playing the stock market. It's all ahead here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry
Sorry.
Show.
You guys hear me sneeze? You know?
I heard you sneeze, Phil.
Lloyd is on with us from Alhambra, and Margaret Gray is back with us. Margaret, I didn't mean to cut you off. We had to go to our commercial break.
No, I understand that, Phil. But the point that I was making, and I know that Lloyd is on, and I want to give you a chance, Lloyd.
Well, I think I've got a very unique perspective because of my life.
Well, I understand that, but can I just say...
Go ahead.
Phil, you know, I think that men are wonderful. I'm not anti-man. I don't have a problem with men like some women who pretend like they don't and are really angry at their fathers and, you know, the whole thing. I'm not angry. I worship my father, and I wish every day that he was still with me. He was a wonderful man. He treated my mother very well, and we miss him very much. So I don't have any issue at all with a man. When I say that I needed to let Frank know that I had been to bed with a Greek, it's because I understand a lot of men. And I understand that for some, it's a problem. And it was for Frank. Frank, take it away.
Thank you. All right, young man, I just, tell you that when he told me I could say a couple of things, I want to say this. The Greek that he went out with, this guy by the name of Stavo, ate a sandwich and with one hand and was wiping her mouth with a napkin and also making love to Margaret. And Margaret, you were screaming, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Literally, the hotel manager had to be...
See, that's the only part that makes me angry is that here's this guy eating a sandwich and wiping her mouth with the napkin and like she's watching a ball game and, oh yeah, by the way, making love to my future wife, and he's screaming, you know, as women will. He's laying there screaming because he's enjoying himself so much with her.
So you were jealous?
I think that's a little bit of jealousy. Wouldn't you be jealous too?
Well, I mean, if my wife made a point of telling me what a fantastic lover the guy was, I would probably ask her, okay, what's the point here? I mean, you know, I'm glad that you had a good time. Thank you very much. We're no longer living those days.
Well, you know, so I asked him, I said, and what did you say?
I said, I said to Frank that there has never been anyone who has made love to me better than Frank, and that this was my, I called it my trip to the Greek sewer, and...
Which I appreciated, you know.
Your trip to the Greek sewer?
Oh, yes, because Stavo made love to me so almost miraculously that I felt filthy. I felt absolutely filthy. I felt as if I'd been immersed in a Greek septic tank. That's how good it was. And I felt ashamed. And I felt so ashamed that I would enjoy myself to such delirious delight while he is eating a sandwich, wiping his mouth with a napkin, and then calling room service.
While he's making love to you.
Yes. Yes. This is what... Hey, thanks a lot for putting me on this.
I'm sorry, Lloyd. We ran out of time.
Yeah, my ass. I beg your pardon. I said my ass. And your face. Got a match? Not since Jesus died.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we have with us tonight on the air, we've had a variety of guests. We are going to bring Margaret Gray and Lloyd Bonafide back to talk a little bit more about, maybe not so much more about the this ridiculous concept of men and their jealousies. You know, we got into this discussion Dr. Sadler, in fact, had introduced us to this discussion of some men have a problem with their women. Some white men have a problem with their women having been with black guys before they met them. Now, understand, I had no idea the conversation was going to go in this direction. We're talking about this girl that was beaten by her father. We were discussing the brutality of this attack on this girl, the videotape that was released. So how it is I got into Margaret's affair with a Greek concessionaire at the 68 Olympics, you know.
Yeah, she was saying that she made love to the guy while he was eating a sandwich and ordering room service.
Yeah, and I was saying, well, that's pretty amazing, you know. He should be congratulated.
Who should?
The guy.
Are you guys out of your minds or something? Who cares whether she was a Greek made love to her? The thing she's describing is vile.
Yeah, but see, now you sound like the guy that's jealous of a guy that's black, you know, taking a woman to his village.
Didn't say take a woman to his village. We're talking about some stupid thing that Dr. Sadler brought up. Let me bring back Margaret Gray on the line here, and we also have Lloyd Bonafide. Margaret, nobody is understanding this, and I don't know that we need to keep talking about it. I do want to talk with another guest of ours about the Oakland police clash with the fringe protesters at Occupy Oakland.
Bill, this is Lloyd. I looked at that on the television just moments ago. My wife and I were looking at the Oakland protest just moments ago, and it looked as if the police were had it well in hand, and I am disappointed as a taxpayer and as a resident of the state of California, not a resident of the Oakland environs. I live in Southern California, but I'm very disappointed in the behavior of these people. And
well, Lloyd, I have to jump in, Lloyd. I got to get going, and you and I have practiced a song for the Thanksgiving talent show that we wanted to do, Phil.
Yes, she's right, Phil.
You guys have practiced this. We're having a talent show Thanksgiving weekend on the air before Thanksgiving weekend. You have a song?
We do have a. That's why we wanted to come back, Phil. I don't want to talk anymore about Stavo. To be honest with you, I put that out of my mind. I don't think of those days anymore. As I said, I'm a little bit... They were wildly, wildly marvelous times. I've never had such a good time. But I feel filthy for the things that he showed me and introduced me to.
Well, I think that it's good that you recognize that, don't you?
What?
I said it's good that you recognize how filthy he was.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
Yes, anyway.
What, are you blowing me off?
No, I'm not blowing you off. You don't seem to understand.
Can you give me... Hey, Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Frank Gray.
Yes, sir.
Look, my wife was making love to a Greek while she was eating a sandwich and while she was getting room service.
Your wife was eating a sandwich?
Give me the phone.
What?
Give me the phone. Never mind, Lloyd.
You were eating a sandwich, though.
No, I was not eating a sandwich. I'm a lady. I'm a woman. I'm not going to lay there in bed as a man is making passionate love to me and suck down cucumber sauce. God almighty.
Well.
I was going to say the same thing, Phil. There's a joke there.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a joke there, is there? You know what? Both of you can go. You can both go down to where the big devil makes little devils and they defecate hot coal.
Well, that's great.
What?
She hung up. And he did, too. We lost the line.
Well, I disconnected the line.
Yeah, we dumped it.
You didn't have to dump it.
Well, didn't she say go down to the...
She said go down to where the big devil makes little devils and they defecate hot coal.
I think one thing I can't figure out about you, how come you're always laughing at the worst times?
I don't know, man. I don't know why I laugh at the worst times, but I do. Okay, all right. Margaret, if you're going to hang up on me...
No, I'm just saying you have to have more respect.
Then don't hang up and then call back. Is Lloyd there?
I've got to call him.
Then call him.
Well, you're yelling at Margaret Gray.
I don't give a damn if I'm yelling at Margaret Gray. I got stuff I got to do, man. I got a story here about the Oakland police clashing with fringe demonstrators. We want to get Don Mixa on about the stock market. We want to talk about Herman Cain and what the hell... I got Harvey Weirman waiting in the wings. An attorney, a retired attorney, one of the most respected attorneys in the country, and he's hanging around here late at night to get on the air with me, and I got these nutcases telling me to go down to the place where the devil craps hot coal.
I bet you he does.
You know, as I think about it, he probably does.
Yeah, that's probably what the devil, when the devil goes to the bathroom, it's probably with briquettes.
Yeah.
All right. Margaret?
I'm Lloyd here, Lloyd.
Yes, sir. The phone went dead, and I called AT&T.
Okay, that's fine. We've got you on the line here. So let's... the song is for the talent show.
Yes, Bill. Lloyd, you take the second part. Okay, I'll take the first part. You take the second part.
The second part is...
I do love exciting and new.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yes, Bill, this is for the talent show, the Thanksgiving talent show this year. One... Two, one, two, three, and a one, two, one, two, two, three. Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We've been expecting you. Now you, Lloyd.
The love boat. Soon you'll be docking at your friend's house.
Those aren't the words.
I'm sorry. You know what? I don't have the lyrics with me.
You know, Margaret, you're pretty picky about the words when somebody else is getting them wrong.
And what's that crack supposed to mean?
That means that you, when you're singing on my show, you're always butchering the words to songs.
How dare you? I am a professional singer.
No, but Margaret, you know full well you always are saying to me, do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, you don't have to know the words.
I do that with certain songs, but I expect Lloyd to know the lyrics, all right? I'm not carrying him to... All right? I got enough on my mind, and I've got enough on my plate. I've got a big part in this song. I'm not carrying him.
You don't have to carry me. Just give me the cue, and I'll pick it up from there.
Well, it doesn't sound like you know what's going on.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Go!
Wait a minute. Hold on. What did you say to me?
I said go!
You're going to have to back up that attitude, Phil.
You know what? If you don't get going singing right now...
All right, hold on. One, two, three.
Wait, why are you counting it down when there's no piano player or anything?
Because it makes me feel good, Frank. All right, now get your... Sit in the chair, Frank, and eat the... What are those? Those are the chocolate-covered raisins.
Yeah, I like them.
Good boy. One. Are you ready, Lloyd? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I've been waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And I want to tell you, and I don't mean to disgust anyone, but I'm sitting on a hard stool in the kitchen using the wall phone, and I've had a... Well, I better not say.
Thank you, Lloyd.
But they're bleeding.
Oh, my... All right, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, love. I'm sorry, I dropped the phone, Phil. Let's do it again.
God.
I dropped the phone, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, love. Exciting and new, come aboard, we're expecting you. Go.
The love boat. Soon we'll be going to your home, the love boat. Uh-oh, look, there's something in my pants called...
Hold on for a minute. Now, he doesn't have the lyrics.
All right, and I don't want to hear him singing his filthy lyrics either. You understand? So whatever it is that's going on here, I am at present time not... I'm not enjoying. I got to take a break.
You always got to take a break. Why aren't you just honest and say, I got to go to the bathroom?
Why don't you just say, I got to go sit on the toilet?
Now, I don't have to do either. I have to take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got to get organized, man. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Live streaming video of the show, downloads of the show, lots and lots and lots of downloads of the show. In fact, downloads of the show that go all the way back to 1999, and I mean whole shows. When I say we got a backstage pass, Jack, it's a backstage pass. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Love. Exciting.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. So, you know, this is the radio show, and then we have our internet platform, and then we have we've got a lot of things forthcoming there at philhendryshow.com that I think you're going to like. By the way, if you want something free from our show, oh, and we're giving away what are we doing, bud?
Give away a signed CD.
We're going to give away a signed Phil Hendry CD sometime tonight. So that's a beautiful thing. But we also have our Classic Phil podcast. It's free. Just go to our website and sign up for the Classic Phil podcast. Subscribe to that, and you get our classics, which are delivered to you, I think, on a, I don't know, like a weekly basis, Robert?
You know, but right now there are about 80 of them. And I think it's like weekly or the other week.
What do you mean, other week?
On the other week.
What does that mean?
Will you talk about every other week?
No, not every other week. On the other week.
What is the other week?
The one that ain't every other week.
Oh, okay.
You understand that? I don't understand what that means. Every other week, the other week.
The one that ain't the every other week.
That would be this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the one.
God.
What?
You two guys live in some world that I you know, NASA and the scientists of the planet Earth have just now are beginning to explore. I don't even think you cats were born on the planet Earth the way you talk on the other week. You guys are like freaking that Nanu Nanu clown. Who was that guy?
Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, that Mork and Mindy. Or that other guy, that My Favorite Martian. Aren't we about due for some cat from another planet? It's just a weird way of putting it.
You mean like a TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably are.
Maybe there is a show out like that. All right, Ms. Gray, I have to hurry and finish up what it is you want me to do, and I'm very happy to do this, but I do need to begin to, you know, get my other guest on the line.
All right, Phil, we found the lyrics here, and I think, Lloyd, you have them. Let me get Lloyd. I'm conferencing him in. Are you there, Lloyd?
Yes, I'm driving home, and I've got the lyrics to the love bot. And
it's not love bot, it's love boat.
Well, my grandson was making a joke. He said, Grandpa's going to sing the love pot.
No, what did you say, love pot? It's love boat.
It's love what?
Love boat.
You know, Love Boat, the TV show.
I don't know. I recall they had a poor misshapen man who was only, he was terribly, terribly disfigured, and he wore a white suit.
You talking about Hervé Villechaize?
No, Ricardo Montalban. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, will you grow up?
Knock it off with the jokes and let's do it, okay?
Okay, what an ass.
One, two. I got to get my head into this.
You know what, guys? I'm going to hang up. And
no, please, Phil, don't hang up.
I'm hanging up unless you do it right now because I got other things I got to do.
All right, we'll have to do it and we're not ready. Are you ready?
No, I'm not ready.
Perfect. One, two, three. Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
The Love Boat soon will be making another run. The Love Boat promises a six-pack for everyone.
Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance.
Love won't hurt if you use the right medical equipment. I forget.
Well, I can't do this with you, you befuddled old bastard. I want to win that money. The talent show money is fine.
Don't you call me a befuddled old bastard.
All right, thanks very much, and that's, I can't deal with it anymore, okay?
Well, they're going to call back and want to come back on.
They can call back all they want if you put them on, Doug, Bud, okay?
What do you mean, Doug?
If you put them on, Bud, I will physically assault you. Do you understand?
Yeah, if you put them on...
You better get this straight, man. If you put those two people back on the air tonight, I will haul off and slug you. Now, do you understand?
What are you looking at?
The clock is what I'm looking at. I want to see what time we have. Now, where's our other guest?
I got him on line three.
Bring him up, okay, if you don't mind, so we can get on with the freaking show here. On the line with me is Justin McElroy of L.A. Canyon College, and this young man was in Oakland yesterday as a part of a protest group. You were with Canyon Action, is that correct?
We're with L.A. Canyon High School, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, L.A. Canyon High School. I think it said college, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're with Canyon Action.
That is correct, yeah.
All right, you were in the San Francisco area. You were in Oakland yesterday. You were a part of the protests. There was some violence, and my understanding is that your group was a part of that.
Well, Mr. Henry, you need to understand that we are anarchists, and we go to L.A. Canyon High School, but I didn't want you to use my name because I have tried to be an anonymous, and that's why we wore the scarves over our face. I actually pulled my sweater up so no one would see me.
Well, but you gave us your name.
I understand that, yeah.
So now you're not anonymous. Now your school knows that you were up there. You were causing damage, were you not?
Well, we were causing damage, but only to those institutions and places that we felt could absorb it and would be able to absorb it. And
but what does that mean, absorb it?
When we felt that there were certain institutions, either financial institutions or individuals, who could absorb the cost of repair, most likely have insurance and so forth. So we did not indiscriminately attack. We looked for capitalist targets. We are very much against the capitalisms, and we're also anti-cop. And the cops, I think, true to form, were very, you know, they were very trying to, you know, be fascists. And
do you, you know, I'm going to talk to you now, Justin. I'm going to talk to you as respectfully as I can. Do you know what it is you're talking about?
Yes, sir, I do. Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I'm right now just asking you questions. But when you say the cops were being very fascists, I mean, what a real fascist is.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is they were not respectful of, see, we're anarchists. And we're wanting to change how the world works, and we also want to make sure that our parents understand that and are willing to see that we want to change the world and are going to give us more freedom, okay, to, if I want to use the car or whatever. And I know that sounds kind of lame. And
yeah, it sounds really lame, you know.
Okay, well, I mean, Mr. Henry, it doesn't sound any more lame than what you have said on your show and on the talk shows. Everybody on talk shows and on talk radio are completely lame. They don't talk about anything that's relevant to any of the youth, and they talk about stupid, idiotic stuff.
All right, well, okay, I'll grant you that. I won't disagree with that. All right? There's a lot of stupid, idiotic talk on talk radio. You're absolutely true. Absolutely right about that. But you're saying that, you know, you're saying that there needs to be some change, fascism and the capitalist system, and then you throw in the fact, and our parents should let us use the car on a Saturday night.
Well, I mean, I use that as a cliche. I mean, what I'm really saying is we want our parents to give us more freedom to use their resources, but also we get to live at home still because of the way the economy is.
All right, I tell you what I'm going to do is put you on hold.
Well, I've been on hold for 40 minutes.
I understand. I apologize, and I think that my crew apologized to you, Mr. McElroy, but I had no choice, all right?
Well, you had a lady and some old man singing Love Bot. And
I understand. I wanted them. They wanted to come on and sing out. I didn't think it would take that long. I apologize.
So I'm going to sit here and sit on my ass in your outer office. And
watch your language, too. Sit on my ass in your outer office. What is with these kids these days, you know?
Well, I mean, a kid was sitting on his ass waiting for you.
Hey, 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 man. You're supposed to represent me, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, the kid's sitting on his ass.
Let him sit on his ass. I'm talking to Margaret and that clown Lloyd trying to get them to sing Love Boat. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. More from Justin McElroy on the Oakland, Occupy Oakland protest yesterday.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. As we get back on course here this evening, very happy to have with us Justin McElroy. He is a junior at LA Canyon High School and was in Oakland yesterday as things got out of hand. And in point of fact, the official Occupy Oakland people have said that they disavow and they distance themselves from any violence that took place.
Mr. Henry, it was not violent. I mean, it's not violence, and I know what you mean, but we were not violent on nobody. And I have to really say now at this time that a friend of mine, Jerry Chesbro, was almost run down by a car. It's a guy on a Mercedes.
And was that your friend?
Yes, sir. And he was standing in front of the Mercedes just talking to the guy, and the guy floored it. And it's a miracle that my friend wasn't, you know, dragged it underneath the car.
Well, I saw the video of that, you know.
Yeah, and it shows him talking to the guy.
No, it shows him pounding on the guy's hood.
He was trying to get the guy to pay attention. The guy,
first of all, he stood in front of this dude. The dude was trying to go down the street, and your friend is standing there in front of the car, not letting him pass.
Well, I mean, my friend was going across the street, and this Mercedes came down the street, and a Mercedes is the representation of a lot of what we've been saying down through the years. And
a lot of what you guys have been saying down through the years. I mean, you're 17, you know.
Oh, can you just listen to me, sir, and not give me, you know, all your static? Because
I'm not giving you static. I'm just telling you. You say down through the years, you know.
I'm speaking in a general figurative sense. Okay, so I mean, if you let me finish saying what I'm saying, and you can get off your douche horse.
You know, hey, don't talk. You know, Justin, I've had you on a show before, and you're a nice guy, but then you get into these really insulting things that I don't think is appropriate for a 17-year-old, okay?
Well, I mean, if you're going to start treating me like a kid, you know.
Well, don't say I'm getting on my douche horse, okay?
All right, well, what do you want me to say? I mean,
just say, say, Mr. Henry, would you let me finish?
Okay, Mr. Henry, would you let me finish? But, I mean, I don't think I think it sounds gay.
Well, no, it doesn't sound gay. It sounds respectful.
okay. I mean, it just seemed to me like you were trying to, you know, you were running the douche 100.
Okay, one more little douche crack, and I'm hanging up.
God. Anyway, so,
run the douche 100.
My friend got in front of the car, and that's when the guy floored it.
All right, well, I saw this, and your friend was in the way, and you guys, meantime, were putting graffiti on walls, you were breaking windows.
Yeah.
And you were, in other ways, intimidating a lot of the people who live in the neighborhood there.
Well, a lot of the people who live in the neighborhood there are not aware of the system that is making, is oppressing people and is making the economy go bad. And we are there to wake them up. And
can I ask you something, Justin? Where do you live?
I live in Chatsworth, I told you.
Okay, you live in Chatsworth. And your father and your mother, you told me that your dad works.
Yeah.
What does he do?
My father's an attorney.
Your father's an attorney. And your mom stay at home?
Well, yeah. My mom has she has her own business, but she works out of the house.
Okay. What does your mother do?
My mom has a cleaning service.
So your mother has a cleaning service. Your father is a lawyer. You go to high school. And you feel oppressed.
Mr. Henry, you are talking more about a bourgeois. Okay. You're saying more bourgeois. And
do you see, you guys, man, you repeat stuff. I don't even think you know what it means.
Yes, I do. Bourgeois means the middle class. But you're trying to make me sound like I'm bourgeois, and all I'm trying to say is I have the right to stay at home and to use the car on Saturday night. And you think that that sounds trivial? That's part of what the Occupy movement's about. It's about everybody getting what they need and everybody getting what they want. And you were playing a song about 2 seconds ago called, you know, I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne, and there's another song that from your generation that I remember or that you guys play, You Can't Always Get What You Need, You've Got to Get What You Want, or something like that.
You Can't Always Get What You Want.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty true. You can't always get what you want, but you got to get what you need. And so the Occupy movement is about us getting what we need and not what we want.
And getting what you need and not what you want.
Or I mean, getting what we want, which is also what we need. And
so what you were telling me you need is the car on Saturday night, and you want to live at home till you're 28.
Well, yes, sir, because the 26 is the arbitrary age that was given by the people that run the medical business, which President Obama has already said is there to gouge out, just basically gouge the eyes out of the poor. I mean, I'm not saying literally, but if the poor was a man, the medical business is there to gouge out his eyes and
please, because you're making some pretty strong accusations.
Well, it's about time these accusations were made, and I learned in our social studies and also our economics class with Mr. Fernbreaker, who said that, you know, everybody has to take responsibility in a society where even the least people can defend themselves. In America, we leave them laying in the gutter.
You know what, I have to tell you that as the societies go, America takes care of its lesser than many, many, many other societies. Even a society like ours that does not have the health care that some of these countries like to crow about, we take care of people in our country far better than I've seen people taken care of in countries where they do have so-called socialized medicine.
Like what countries are you talking about? Because I was with my parents last year in France, and we went to Germany. Both of those countries have national health care, and there wasn't no people begging on the street except one lady that I saw in Paris, and that's all I saw.
There wasn't no people begging on the street. You know, you need to pay more attention in English class too.
Well, you know, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just here to say that we have our responsibility, and that we're not taking it very seriously. And yeah, you're right. My dad's a lawyer, and my mom has her own business, and I live in a nice house, and I want to have the car on Saturday night, and I want to have the car, you know, and everything, you know, until I'm 28. At least I'm out there standing up for poor people and everything.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, this guy is called back.
Yeah, you want to talk on
Mr. Bonafide, sir, you home?
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to this.
Hold on for a minute now. You were on my show last hour. You were singing a song. We don't usually put people on twice in one night, okay?
But you put people on, Mr. Henry, all the time. You know, you're always putting people on. You know, God. Who was that that just went God?
Hold on for a minute now. I'll give you this one phone call. I want you to know, though, that we don't allow people on the show twice in a night.
Mr. Henry, can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
Can I talk to, like, a fresh new caller instead of some guy you're recycling in?
Hey, let me tell you something, young man.
Hold on. No, this is the call we have for you. Please deal with it. Okay?
I want to say something. No, I just... Okay. Let me tell you, just never mind about Mr. Henry. And I want to tell you something. You went up to Oakland in Northern California.
That's right. That's where it is.
And you know something? You're a real smartass, aren't you?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah? Sometimes you are, huh? Well, let me tell you something. I fought for this country in Korea.
Well, so?
So?
I just fought for this country in Oakland, sir. And
yeah, I'll bet you did. What you do, stand in front of a Mercedes-Benz? And then you want to use the bathroom on a Saturday night or whatever you told Mr. Henry.
What? I didn't say use the bathroom. I said I want to be able to use a car.
You wanted to use, you want to use a car. You call that fighting for something? There are millions of American men who fought for this country.
Are you going to cry?
No, I'm not crying. I'm losing my voice.
You know, you need to not yell so much, Lloyd.
What?
You need to not yell so much.
Well, it sounds like he's crying.
He's not crying. He's lost. Your voice sounds rough.
All right. I'll tell this guy one thing. When I was a young man, and I did things my way.
The guy sounds like he just had it lopped off and had, a lady's part installed.
Hold on for a minute now. I want to find out.
What did you just say to me?
Hold on for a minute.
Oh, no. I want him to repeat. What did you just say?
It sounds to me like you had it lopped off and had one installed.
What did I have installed? And be very careful, mister.
It sounds like you had a woman's part installed.
I had a woman's part installed. Why? Because my voice changed?
Oh, God. Aren't you embarrassed?
Lloyd, you really need to take care of your voice. Okay?
No. He's not getting away with that. I understand my voice is, I've been practicing singing that song for that woman, that Margaret, and now I've lost my voice. Well, guess what? This is the voice that I've got right now, and I'm going to tell this kid one more time. Are you telling me I sound like I'm transgender?
Well, yeah, you do.
I do?
Yeah, you do, because a minute ago you sounded normal. I mean, you sound like my grandfather.
A minute ago I sounded like your grandfather. Go ahead.
And then you started losing your voice, and now you sound like you sound like Mickey Mouse. You sound like a Mickey Mouse that has a boyfriend and... probably wears, a robe.
I sound like Mickey Mouse with a boyfriend. Are you hearing this, Mr. Henry? Are you taking notes?
No, I'm not taking notes.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm listening to you with your Mickey Mouse voice. The kid's right. You sound like a jackass. Get off the air. Take care of your throat.
How am I going to take care of my throat when I've got a guy like this on the road?
Just get off the air and take care of your throat. Get some throat coat tea.
Throat coat tea, is it? That's the thing?
You just get off the air. If he calls back, Bud, no more. No more people twice in one night. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand that, but you didn't make that rule till now.
The hell I didn't. I've always told you guys that. No crank calls. No chronic calls. I can't stand chronic callers. Two calls in one night. You got to be putting me on. All right, Justin, where were we?
I don't know, Mr. I mean, I was talking about how the power structure has been leaning on poor people and has taken away from them the means by which they are able to own their own capacity, and a lot of stuff that we learned about in our in economic history and everything. And
what you're basically trying to articulate there, isn't it, is the Frederick Engels and Karl Marx and their view of labor owning the means of production.
Well, probably. I mean, I don't. We learned a lot about dialectical materialism and everything.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Well, and also, but when I said that I want to live at home, that doesn't mean I'm a sissy. It means that I'm fighting for my rights to live at home and stay there till I'm 28, and also to be able to use, the dad I'd say the dad. I don't want to call him my dad because our movement believes in calling them the dad. And
the what? Say that again?
I don't call my father. I call him the dad or the father.
And why?
Because Occupy Oakland and all the other Occupy, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't own nothing. So if I say it's my dad.
I mean, he called back. I just thought I'd let you know.
Is this the guy? Where? How many times do I have to tell you put him on hold? How many times do I got to tell you?
He just said he had one point he wanted to make, and then he...
Yes, sir.
Boy, if that don't beat all the dad, is that what you said?
Hi. Is this Mr. Mouse? Can I speak to your husband?
Smartass, let me tell you something. When I was in Korea...
Okay, is this going to be long? Because I might want to get a nap in.
Want to get a nap in? I'll tell you something else you're going to get in. You're going to get my... When I was in Korea fighting for your freedom to be a smartass and your freedom to call your father the father, what were you doing? What were you doing?
I wasn't born yet.
How old is this kid?
All right, thanks very much, Lloyd. I think...
My voice sounds fine. You're just...
That's all I can handle from that Jack Ball. Justin McElroy on the line with us. We'll be back with more on Occupy Oakland and no more of that guy on the show at all. He's lost his voice. You understand?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We're giving away a signed CD next hour here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Ain't that a bitch?
The Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. And we are here and we are online at Phil Hendry Show as well. And we're on 140, 150, 160, 2,000, 8 million radio stations all over the country. It's just an ever-growing network of radio stations. So I have to just give it a very liberal reading. Well, let's just say we're on 8 million. And our network is growing by leaps and bounds, so you can hear us on the radio. You can also hear us online, streaming live on a number of those radio stations, or you can watch our video cast live. Now, if you miss all of that, you still have the podcast, and you can listen to our podcast. You can also listen to a free stream of our show the next day on our website. So if you go to philhendryshow.com and you said, I missed Phil's show last night, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, and you know, all those things. You can go and you can listen to the stream of our show at philhendryshow.com right there. Just look in our five-day archive and you'll see last night's show. Justin, we left off and with Justin McElroy. He's a high school senior from, junior from L.A. Canyon High School. You were in Oakland at the Occupy Oakland action. You were one of the few that were violent. What do you think of the people organizing this thing that said you guys, they disavowed your actions?
Well, I mean, a lot of those people are very much not of my age group. And the people that, you know, my people understand, Mr. Henry, are people of my age group and my generation. We're high school, maybe, you know, early late teens, early 20s, and my people, they look to us for leadership, and they look to, you know, us to provide the kind of leadership that they want. My mom's here, and I wanted to kind of just bring her on if I could, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Mom, what is your name, Mom?
My name is Kathy McElroy.
Kathy McElroy, and what's Dad's name?
Jared
McElroy is my father. Don't you think that you dress inappropriately for my friends when they come over to have, you know, to do some gaming or to have, you know, like a root beer or whatever?
I don't think I dress inappropriately, Justin. You and I have talked about this.
What are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing tights and heels.
You're wearing tights and heels. And you had recently breast implants, correct?
That is correct.
Do you think this is appropriate for you to ask your mother that?
Mr. Henry, you just interrupted me. so I got to start all over again.
No, you don't have to start all over again. I'm asking, do you think it's important? May I ask your mother a question?
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm only answering the questions that my son is putting to me. And the reason I'm doing that is so that my son has no reason whatsoever to say that I'm not listening to him.
Yeah, but you are talking to Mr. Henry right now. Are you attracted to Mr. Henry?
I've listened to him on the radio.
Are you attracted to him?
Not inordinately. I'm a married woman, but I think Mr. Henry's very intelligent.
Yeah, okay. See, Mr. Henry? So
What are you trying to prove here? Are you trying to embarrass your mother?
No, I'm just saying, when I get home from school and I'm with my friends, and all we want to have is root beer and...
He's crying now.
All we wanted to have was a root beer and a Oreo cookies, and my mom comes out with her friends, and they're dressed like...
They're dressed like what?
My son believes that I come out dressed very inappropriately. I did recently have breast enhancement, and I do wear tight-fitting pants, because my husband likes that.
Do you think that that's appropriate for these 16 and 17-year-old boys?
I don't, but by the time my son gets home, I have been out, and I've been at meetings, and the day gets away from me, and I don't have time to go upstairs and change just so my 17-year-old son doesn't turn super prude. You know what I'm saying?
But, ma'am, Mom, you should care about what I say.
What difference does it make? Are your friends getting hot and bothered?
You know, one of them is, Terry. And
all right, I don't want to hear this, okay?
I don't either, Phil.
God almighty. If you got an issue with your mom dressing inappropriately, you better take it up with her and your father. And
no, he's going to not talk to his father about this. I won't let him talk to his father about this. His father is a drug abuser.
Yeah, my dad uses pills. He's a pillhead.
Father's a pillhead.
I thought you said your dad's an attorney.
So?
You can be an attorney and be a pillhead.
You got a pillhead for a father who's a lawyer. You got a mother that's dressing in such an inappropriate way that you, as a 17-year-old boy, notice this. And you're worried about Occupy Oakland?
Well, you got to... I mean, I've got to act out and...
That's exactly what you're doing. You're acting out. You're imagining yourself some political savior, dude, when your own home life is not making it.
I won't have you talking to my son that way.
Ma'am, if your son doesn't think that you're dressing appropriately, if you're dressing inappropriately around his friends, you know...
I will not have you talk to that. Do you have somewhere where we can talk privately?
Privately?
Yes.
Well, no, I don't have anywhere.
I told you, Mr. Henry. She wants to get on your...
He's gone. Phil Henry Show, 877... Well, never mind. We'll be back with our news and information hour in a moment.
Guess you missed out, huh?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We are now into a Friday morning here on the West Coast. As you guys on, further east of us, you've been into Friday. And I say that into literally, not subjectively. Maybe you're not into Friday. I can't imagine people not being...
Yeah, everybody's into Friday.
Everyone's into Friday. So, nonetheless, we're into our Friday here at the El Pacifico, where we broadcast from. And we also... join you on Phil TV in HD at philhenryshow.com. Now, this hour, we're going to have Don Mixa on to discuss a little bit about the stock market. Actually, what we're going to be discussing is an initial public offering of Groupon. You know Groupon. This is these group coupons.
Yeah, my aunt uses them a lot sometimes, and I've heard about them.
Yeah, those are the ones that give you discounts and stuff for stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's the difference between them and a regular coupon?
I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know, and I don't want to answer any questions. But I will say this: they have gone public, and they are offering their stock.
What's that mean? Gone public?
Meaning they're offering shares in their company to the public, like in a stock market.
Oh,
so they're offering shares in their company at $20 a share, and I thought. That sounded pretty good, considering what I knew about Groupon. I mean, they are a little bit of a phenomenon. People talking about them all the time. People using them all the time. I mean, so I thought maybe $20 a share. But we're going to get Don Mix on here to talk about that. We also have Harvey Wireman to discuss the Herman Cain situation and what that's going to mean. What do you think about that?
I think because he's black that they want to say what they always say about black man, you know, that he's being inappropriate with women.
Yeah, but you got to admit,
I don't have to admit nothing, man. Just you a racist doesn't mean that I have to admit that.
I'm not being a racist or anything.
But why don't you admit it? Yes, you are, okay?
How can I be a racist if I got a black girlfriend?
I don't know, man, but you are.
You're always talking about every kind of, every time we talk about something having to do with race, you're always like, well, yeah, but the guy was black.
Yeah, so you got to take that into account.
Why do I got to take that into account? Why?
Well, because of statistics and everything that they tell you about.
What statistics, man?
You're just a racist, man.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're a racist. And you don't even want to admit it. And I don't care if you got a black girlfriend. You probably aren't racist around her. She probably just only sees the good side of you. And you'll tell all this redneck cracker trash you talk when you're around us.
No, I talk my opinion about her and everything.
Do you? You say to her, your girlfriend, Vivian, right?
Yeah.
You tell her that you think it's entirely appropriate to be suspicious of a black guy when someone accuses him of sexual harassment.
Well, she told me that she's been hit on by black guys inappropriately.
Well, of course she is, man. Those are the only men she was around probably in her life. You think about that?
Well...
You know, bud, you really, I ought to kick your ass off of this show and have you go and get one of those sensitivity training classes. Do you want to be a racist?
I'm not a racist. I don't hate nobody.
Well, then, you know, you're like a lot of racists, man. You don't think you are, but you talk like a jackass. I'm going to send you one of them sensitivity classes.
You're going to send me to one of the places where they have the black jelly bean?
Yeah, man, you should send them to the jelly bean class.
No, and hold on for a minute. What do you mean the jelly bean class?
They got that black jelly bean.
Yeah, and they make you say that people are like jelly beans.
Black jelly bean? What is that?
It's a class they have for some corporate guys.
Let me tell it. It's a class they have for corporate guys that are racist. Like they had it, I think, for the guys at Cracker Barrel and a guy at a Dunkin' Donuts or something. And
I mean Dunkin' Donuts. Get the story right, okay? What companies are we talking about?
Talking about like Denny's, I think, and another company. And they send people to go do sensitivity and everything.
Why don't you spit it out, man?
I'm doing better than you. I'm doing better than you. So anyway, they have them go to a sensitivity class, and the people are like jelly beans.
Oh, you know something? I think I remember this now.
Yeah, remember when they had it and they had a black jelly bean?
I remember this black jelly bean thing. These are yes, that is a sensitivity. That is a kind of a sensitivity class. I don't think I don't know about that. I would like people to be spoken to in a much more adult fashion. I don't think unless people are complete idiots, and believe me when I tell you this, if you were to say to me, no, Phil, we have evidence that human beings are complete idiots, you're not going to get an argument out of me. But I will say that if I have to approach a group of adults now, not children, but adults, if I have to approach a group of adults on the discussion of racial equality, and I have to use a bag of jelly beans to get through to them, we're dealing with mental midgets here.
That's what I mean. You don't have to do that with me.
All right, then what do I got to do with you? What do I got to say to you?
I don't think I'm racist.
You are, bud, and when you say, I got it, Robert, okay?
Man, this guy's an idiot.
No, you're an idiot.
Wait, hold on. When you say that you think that it's reasonable to suspect a black man of sexually harassing women, then why don't you say the same thing about white guys?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You think it's reasonable to suspect a white guy of harassing women?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable for a white guy to harass white women. And I think it's reasonable for a black guy to harass white women.
Yeah, see, right there is a racism, man.
Yeah, see, that's what it is.
That's not racist. I just said they're both equal.
Yeah, they're both equal. One guy's hitting on white chicks, and the other guy's hitting on white chicks.
What's racist about that?
You're basically saying that black guys can be stereotyped into the category of, I want that fresh white meat because that's my image of beauty, and I'm black, and that's how I think, and nobody, you know, we can't look at people as individuals.
Well, at least I'm not saying he's the only guy that sexually harasses.
I'm going to say this to you for the last time. I'm not going to have an argument with you about this. I'm going to say this to you, okay?
Every time you tell me to do...
I'm going to say this to you. Listen. I'm not going to argue with you. You got a problem. It's a race problem. You got a problem with black people. You got a problem with people of color. I don't care if your girlfriend's black. You got to get your head straight because you are not there, man. You know, you're not in the 21st century on this stuff. You sound like a freaking redneck. You talk like a dumbass. And I know you're not stupid, okay?
Yeah, you sound stupid. That's because I was in a motorcycle accident.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the stuff you say having to do with race is stereotypically dumbass redneck stuff. You know, even you slip up sometimes and call them colored people, all this stuff. I want you, you know, or you can't work on a show. I'm telling you right now, okay? You look at this. Your friend, Robert here, is a black guy.
Yeah.
Don't you guys hang out?
Yeah, sometimes.
He's a black guy. And you're talking all this crap about how black guys sexually harass women. I've heard what you've said, man. Every time you see a name in the news and it sounds black, like Letitia or Lionel or some stuff like that, you immediately suspect it's got something to do with a burglary. Or,
not always a burglary.
Yeah, you sound like sometimes a rape, too.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, okay, great. Well, I'm glad that you're spreading the crimes out a little bit. You got problems, man. I think you do it on purpose, if you want my honest opinion. I think you do it to provoke people.
I don't do anything wrong. I mean, okay, I saw one time a black guy, and he was breaking into the back of my uncle's store.
Yeah?
And that made me a racist.
Oh, you're full of crap.
That don't make you a racist, man. That makes you an idiot.
He was breaking into my uncle's store. That's a true story.
Okay, so it's a true story. How does that mean that every black guy's a thief? This is the problem. You got a deeper problem than this. I can see a black guy breaking into a freaking store. I don't automatically assume everybody's a thief.
Yeah, but I was a kid then.
So what? Jeez.
What about the time you told me you jumped in a pile of leaves?
What pile of leaves?
When you were at your house and a gardener was black and he yelled at you.
Yeah? Ernest was his name.
Yeah, Ernest. And you jumped into the leaves.
Do you mind if I tell the story?
Well, didn't you say you was mad at black people after that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I said I was mad at him. And I was a little stupid kid, and he had cleaned these leaves up in our...
You're going to say in your black yard.
Yes, in our black yard. And
see, that's racism.
I'm kidding, okay? He'd rake the leaves, he put them in a pile, I got home from school, I came running through the backyard, and I dove into the pile of leaves, and Ernest got mad at me and yelled at me. It was the first time he ever yelled at me, and I was really mad and I was embarrassed. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a black guy, okay?
Well, it's unusual to have a black girl, and usually they're Chinese.
Yeah.
Usually they're Chinese? You must mean they're Japanese.
That's it, right.
Thank you. Quit being a racist.
Sorry.
All right. That was a big, fat waste of 15 minutes talking to your ass about that stuff. I'm telling you.
Man, you've got me all wrong.
I ain't got you all wrong. I got you figured out right down to the plate in your head. And you got to clean your act up. We're going to come back. We have with us, is it Don Mixa coming up? Or are we going to talk to...
Yeah, have Harvey Wireman.
Harvey Wireman coming on here to discuss the legality of this Herman Cain situation. What's going on? Is Herman Cain done for? Let's find out with Harvey Wireman next here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And although this is the news and information hour, so no calls get taken on this here show in this here hour.
Yeah, a lot of people are not even taking phone calls.
Well, we still take the odd call, but a lot of talk shows, it's true, it is now state of the art for many big-time talk shows, major market shows, etc., to not take phone calls at all. And it's not because we have any disrespect for you. It's because you want to move the show sometimes in a different direction, and having to take phone calls slows it down a little bit. You have to kind of stop down for the caller base and lots of technical things there that I don't really want to get into. See? So anyway, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our website is philhenryshow.com. This hour, we're going to be giving away a signed autograph, that is, CD to some. And by the way, I want to talk to the guys now back at the control room. The cat that won, oh God, the guy that won last night, the shot glass. Well, I'll talk to you guys during the break.
You don't tell me you lost the guy's address.
I don't think I lost his address, but I'm not sure. You know.
Nice move.
Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. All right. So our number is, well, the number is what the number is, and the show is what the show is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get on the line here now. Harvey Wireman. Harvey is a retired attorney at law and lives in San Marino, California, and is out tonight at, was at a dinner this evening honoring you, Harvey, for your work with the ACLU. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Phil. The honor was all mine, and what I mean by that is I was very grateful to a great many good people, and, you know.
When people say ACLU, you know what you get, right? You get a lot of people to think that you work for the devil.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Let me explain something. I was in the U.S. Marine Corps. I'm a veteran of service in the Pacific in World War II. So I don't have to apologize to anybody for the work I've done with the ACLU. And anybody wants to talk about it. But we just had dinner. My daughter is here, and she's bringing the car around. But I thought I'd help you out here with the situation on Herman Cain. And I'll tell you that it's the problem with this guy Cain is that, you know, it's a tough charge to beat, and by that I mean you have to ensure that you get a fair hearing. You have to ensure that people will listen to your side of this thing. But
do you need some water?
Well, I got to get some my granddaughter. Can you get Grandpa some water, honey? You get some water for Grandpa, okay? Here is where I think Herman Cain's got a shot, Bill. And
I noticed that you are now, and I know that you are more probably liberal and a Democrat, and Herman Cain's a Republican, but you're eminently fair in advising him.
Well, of course, you know, look, just because a guy's a Republican doesn't mean he's got to give up his rights to being a human being. And anybody who even jokes about it, even if they're a fellow liberal such as I am, they can thank you, honey. I got some water here.
Go ahead, take a drink, because it sounds like you...
Well, you know, it's the phlegm. It's a thick phlegm. Okay, that's good. Well, you spilled it all over my pants. What is that, anyway, honey?
Okay, Harvey,
Well, she put something on my pants. What is that? My daughter's here, and she's got my granddaughter, and she put, is that some kind of a goo? What is that from? From her what? When's the last time she saw a doctor? It's all over my slacks here. So, Phil, Herman Cain is a human being with the same rights as any other human being, and I believe he has a case here. These women that are accusing him claim that some kind of a financial settlement was made with Herman Cain, and that at the time they signed a non-disclosure agreement. That means that they would keep mum about the particulars of the settlement, and in point of fact, what it means is... excuse me, I gotta get...
get me water. Don't get me that goo. You know, I don't want to drink. I don't know what she put in that cup, but it wasn't water. Which means that she is not she, that's my granddaughter, that these women were supposed to keep quiet.
Okay. And they came out and they said what happened.
Yes, they came out and they violated, in other words, an aspect of this agreement that she had, both of them had.
Aha!
Oh, boy. Give me water. What is this? I don't want chocolate milk, honey. I gotta have water. So Herman Cain can sue these women for disclosing the particulars of this lawsuit.
He can. Now, doesn't that make him look guilty?
I believe that what he's doing is he can sue them for opening their mouths and spilling the facts of this case, even though the case itself, we don't know the facts. You see what I'm saying? In other words, they said that he sexually harassed them. But what did he do? Did he say something to them? Did he have a physical interaction with them? Hold on. Thank you very much. This isn't water either. Where's your mother? Go get your mom, okay? Tell her grandpa needs. So he can sue these women.
All right, so he sues these women, and he sues them for what?
For violating the particulars, for violating the agreement, which was essentially a gag order.
All right, but when he sues them, it's not exactly, you know, he's running for president.
I understand he's running for president. I understand that. But he's got to get, what he has to do is get ahead of the ball on this thing. He can't keep playing behind the ball. He can't keep playing catch up on this thing, which is all he's doing. You know?
But what I'm saying is, if this guy, if Herman Cain says that I'm going to sue these women for disclosing the particulars of this case, he's basically saying, they're right, I did do it, but I'm suing them to shut their mouths. And it looks like he doesn't want the truth to come out, and it looks like he is wanting to hide something.
But he has a legal right because they signed an agreement.
I understand that. But you know and I know, Harvey, that it isn't always about what's legal. It isn't always about what's right. It's about perception.
Now, hold on for a minute. I thought these were Republicans. And the Republicans are the ones that are always going on and on about how they believe in morality and they believe in values and they believe in... Hold on. Ah! God, that's like somebody just took a giant ball of mozzarella and just went ahead and said, go ahead, gag on this. Get your mother, okay? What is this? Do you know what water is? What's water? What's in a toilet, yes. Don't go to a toilet and get me water. I want water, though. Water! She's my granddaughter. I love her dearly, but she is as... I don't think I've ever met a child quite as dumb.
And well, is she all right?
Oh, yeah, she's fine. I mean, she's not... You think she's got a retard? No. She's,
well, I'd be some kind of a disability.
No, she doesn't have any disability. She's just a dumb little girl. Just a dumb little girl. So...
Hold on for a minute. Harvey Weierman with us talking about Herman Cain. What can he do? Herman Cain sue these women for violating the confidentiality of their agreement. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I know I was given a phone number out because we have an autographed Best of the Phil Henry Show CD to give away tonight. And we're going to be giving away our Best of CD entitled Bring It, our Best of the Year 2001. It's autographed by yours truly, Phil Henry, if you can answer the following question. And it's simply this. Who was the guest we had on this evening who was talking about his wife spending $2,000 at the mall and then tried to provoke a fight with him by saying she had lived with a black guy before she met him. Who was the guest that we had on tonight that was angry at his wife for spending money at the mall and whose wife then attempted to start a fight with him by saying she had dated a black man before they met? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If you know the answer to that, the first person that we pick up the line with the right answer, very first person who has the right answer wins an autographed Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. It is a legacy CD, one of our archived best ofs. It has fantastic material on it. And by the way, if you want to get our classic Phil Hendry podcast, you go over and sign up for it at our website as well. And get that one for free, too. That's our classic Phil podcast. 877-876-PHIL to answer the question, who'd we have on the show tonight that had the wife who tried to provoke him by saying she dated a black man before they met? All right.
See, that's kind of racist.
That's not racist. That's me pointing out how racist some people are. Okay, bud? God. 877-876 is the number. 877-876-PHIL is the number to win the Best of CD. So let me see here, man. I know that I wanted to talk a little bit about this Michael Jackson. This poor young man, I say young man, Michael Jackson was 50 years old when he died. And he's a guy that was one of the most popular entertainers the world has ever known. He winds up taking drugs that, for whatever reason, are not good for you. And he winds up taking them at the either at the behest or the encouragement or provided by this Dr. Conrad Murray. And now he's dead. Well, the case against Michael Jackson's doctor has now gone to the jury. The case of Michael Jackson's doctor.
You said Michael Jackson. It's Jackson.
Thank you, bud. I might have misspoke. I don't know. God, man.
All right, man. I misspoke. Michael Jackson. Sounds like you're all, you know, hard of hearing or something. I think Michael Jackson.
I'm going to haul off and belt you in 5 seconds.
All right.
I'm not in the mood to mess around with you, man. You know what I'm saying?
God. I'm Phil Hendry. You're Michael Jackson. Ow!
That's right. Screaming like a little girl. Come on, let's get the phone lines full here. 877-876-PHIL. If you know who the guest was that we had on tonight, whose wife tried to bait him into an argument by saying that she had dated a black man, the winner gets a Best of Phil Hendry Show CD. All right. You know, you ain't funny, okay? So in any event...
Just sounded like that to me.
Yeah, okay, ha-ha. Michael Jackson's doctor, Dr. Conrad Murray, the case against this guy has now gone to the jury. In a final statement delivered in a packed courtroom, a defense attorney cast Dr. Conrad Murray as a victim of Jackson's celebrity, saying he would never have been charged with involuntary manslaughter if his patient was someone other than Michael Jackson. So in other words, what the defense was saying is that this man was targeted because he was Michael Jackson's doctor, and he must have done something wrong because Michael Jackson is a celeb. Prosecutor David Walgren portrayed Murray as a liar and greedy opportunist who put his own welfare before that of Jackson. Conrad Murray is criminally liable for the death of Michael Jackson, not because it was Michael Jackson, but because Conrad Murray is guilty of criminal negligence. Superior Court Judge Michael Pastor submitted the case to jurors after a full day of arguments and told them to begin deliberation on Friday. So, you guys got any opinion on that?
I think he's guilty of getting that kid drugs.
I don't have any opinion, and I'll tell you this. I think it's really important to obviously follow these cases. But Michael Jackson and the law and courtrooms, man, that has been happening so often and so much to so many people. And when I say to so many people, what I mean is Michael Jackson's been accused of things by so many people. Now his doctor's being accused of killing him. I mean, this guy has been in courtroom after courtroom after courtroom, either as a dead man or a living man, either being accused or having someone being accused because of what they did to him, that the particulars of these cases, it doesn't matter anymore. Nobody wants any truth when it comes to this guy. Everybody thinks they've got the truth. Everyone thinks they've got it's cut and dried, it's black and white.
Don't you think the guy's a child molester?
I don't know if he was a child molester. Was he weird? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. Knowing what I know about this guy Jackson and how strange a man he was, it's entirely possible. I don't find it out of the ordinary at all. I think it's entirely possible that, yeah, he had kids for sleepovers, and, yeah, he laid in beds with them and did nothing to them. He just wanted to hang out with kids and that there was nothing sexual involved. Because that's in the minds of the mass of Americans, because that's what, quote, you know, to be honest with you, that's probably what most Americans would think they'd do if they were in that situation. Maybe that's what their problem is. But I just don't think that anything came out in any of those trials about that guy being guilty. So now here we come with this guy, Conrad Murray. And I'm supposed to believe now that this guy is guilty because, well, he shouldn't have given him this drug, and he shouldn't have given him that drug, and he shouldn't have given him... I don't know. Did he make a mistake? Maybe. Was it a mistake that had been made by other doctors with other patients? Maybe. You know. But, you know, even in death, this cat cannot rest. I mean, they won't... They just... And I remember the first time, you know, I was talking to the guys before the show. You know, I would prefer to remember Michael Jackson's a great entertainer. I'm not getting into the, you know, the ghoulish aspects of his life. I'm not going to get into the ghoulish aspects of his death. I'm not going to get into any of that stuff. I'm very, very comfortable in saying, I don't know. That doesn't make me stupid. I'll debate that with anybody, anytime, anywhere, if they're actually people that want to debate. I won't talk to imbeciles about it. I'm not going to do a Facebook debate on it. I'm not going to do a Twitter debate on it. I'm not going to talk to anonymous jackasses who really have no interest in, you know, the truth of the matter at all. I'm not going to talk to people that don't like black people, so that's why they think he's guilty. I'm not going to talk to guys that are repressed homosexuals, so that's why they don't like Michael Jackson. I'm not going to talk to people that may be child molesters themselves. All I'm looking for is a little bit of truth here. If this doctor is guilty of malpractice, all right. But I don't trust the system anymore when it comes to Michael Jackson, because it has been so polluted by celebrity reporting. It's been so polluted by idiotic commentary. It's been so polluted by imbecilic conclusions drawn based on nothing, drawn on this man. I don't even know if the testimony in court about Michael Jackson that has been given has been true. I don't know if the testimony that's been given about Conrad Murray is true. So I'm here to tell you, I don't care, you know. But do you care?
Well, not really. I mean, but if the guy is guilty...
How are you ever going to know?
Well, they're going to find out in the court.
Maybe. Maybe they'll find out in the court. But I've seen the judicial system twisted in such obscene ways. Here's a guy, Jackson. He gets convicted... Or not convicted, he gets put on trial for molesting children, and I never did hear any actual proof of that. Now you know all about Casey Anthony. She's walking, and I'm told by the very same people that say Michael Jackson was guilty as a child molester, I'm told by the very same people that Casey Anthony is an innocent woman. Most of them that say that, by the way, are men, stupid men.
Well, why is it a stupid?
Because you got to be stupid to think that woman's innocent.
Yeah, but it's the same thing that...
No, but it's not the same thing. They don't have... No. It's not the same thing. Not at all. Okay? You had a jury. First of all, we had a jury in that Casey Anthony case that didn't even take any kind of an honest look at any of that evidence. The reasons they gave for acquitting that woman were the most unbelievably stupid I've ever heard in my life. You'd swear to God these people were all born after the discovery of DNA, and unless they have DNA evidence, you can't convict anybody of anything. And as far as the Michael Jackson thing goes, that guy was convicted in the court of public opinion, so it doesn't make any difference, you know? What anybody says. I mean, it really doesn't. He's a child molester, and he's a homosexual, and he's this, and he's that, and he's going to be that way until the day he dies. Michael Jackson, you're witnessing, folks, the very beginning stages of what history has done to some people. How some people are vilified, and how that reputation stays with them for decades, if not longer, until finally someone does the proper research, everyone shuts their mouth, all of the dumbasses have died and blown away, and a new generation of people come along, and they want to look at things more clinically and a little bit more clearly, and so they dust off the old newspapers, and they pull out all of the old binders full of all the old medical reporting, and they take a look at the transcripts of the trials again, and they take a much more clear-eyed view of it, and you'd be surprised what distance and time can do when it comes to, you know, history. All right, we're going to come back here with the winner of our CD in a moment and the final segment of the show here tonight. I don't know if Don Mixon wants to talk about that Groupon thing.
Yeah, I got him online, too. He's going to talk about Groupon and how he makes all that money.
All right, Don Mixon next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. Phil Hendry Show. Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, our winner, by the way, tonight of our Best Of CD, a autographed Best Of CD, is Aaron Chep. Do I have the right name there, bud?
Yeah, I think that's it right there, if you look right there.
I understand that's his last name. I'm just having... where are my reading glasses? Aha! Aaron Chep, Chepquick, Chep...
Chapdick.
Not Chap... It's Chaprick.
It's Chaprick.
I'm going to belt you. Chapnick, that's why it's spelled C-H-A-P... Oh, Chapnick. Okay, Aaron Chapnick.
You're not talking about Fred, man. You ought to learn how to read.
Hey! I didn't have my glasses on. Aaron Chapnick of Medford, Oregon. Cool. Thanks very much, Aaron. So your CD will go out tomorrow. Yes, it'll go right out the door and into a garbage can. No, it won't. It'll get mailed to you. I will tell you one thing. And by the way, hey, Alex, man, did you email me that photograph? You never emailed me that photograph, dude. I got a book sent to me, and I got this book, and usually I'm very happy to see books. I love books, but I like books of history. You know, sue me. I like nonfiction. I don't read fiction. I don't have anything against people that write fiction. I'm bored by it, and that's just, you know, how messed up I am. Let's just chalk it up to that. But a lot of nonfiction can suck, too. Anyway, Alex, man, if you're listening, dude, he took a picture of me one morning. He was over at the house, and I got this book in the mail, Catherine Cryer and Some Horse Dung, you know, about, I'm telling you, folks, you know, I get a lot of books from a lot of publishers, and this one was one of those typical things about, you know, something like the Bill of Rights or the Bill of Wrongs, you know, some crap like that. Some other jive ass wrote a book because there was an astoundingly good biography of Alexander Hamilton written by Ron Chernow. Some stupid ass wrote a book about how Alexander Hamilton was bad for the country and did all kinds of terrible things, using as his primary research the conclusions that were drawn by Ron in his marvelous biography. And this guy, by the way, who wrote this this rip job on Alexander Hamilton, the guy's not a historian, he's an economist, and he's a politicized economist. So in other words, he's a moron. So I got that book. I get books written by talk show hosts. No offense, but I would use that as toilet paper immediately if I were you folks. If you run out and you don't want to shuffle down the hall for, like, a rag.
Yeah, sometimes you got to shuffle down the hall and get a paper towel.
Yeah, so I had to do that one time. Another time.
All right, guys, don't give me your history of running out of toilet paper, okay? Let me just give you some advice, okay?
Can I get, a talk show host book?
Yes. If you run out of toilet paper, make sure you've got a book written by a talk show host somewhere nearby, and start ripping the sheets out of that for toilet paper. I'm telling you. You know, you can do worse.
They use a lot of really rough paper, though.
Well, you know, they do use rough paper, but it beats wax paper.
God, man, you imagine wiping with wax paper?
No, I can't. So, I took this book, this Catherine Cryer book, another jive-ass book, And I held it over the garbage can, holding my nose. No, I actually held it over the garbage can, pointing to it like, hey, my latest reading material. And then I think Alex snapped the shot just as the book was leaving my hand and plummeting into the can. And I think, because he showed me the shot, it was beautiful because the book is suspended in midair, leaving my hand but heading into the garbage can, but it was not blurred.
Oh, that's cool. So you can see the face and everything?
Yeah, you see the title?
You can see the title as the book is falling into the garbage can. Catherine Cryer and, you know, God Loves You or whatever. Man, I'm getting really sick and tired of these books by these clowns. Now, I understand everybody has a right to write a book. But at what point do you know, at what point are people going to finally get a clue? They're not reading anything of any substance. These people are not writing about anything that's, I mean, when talk show hosts write books about how they feel about the country, folks, you're in big trouble if you read them. You're in big, big trouble if you read them. You want to get the guy's opinion, you can listen to his show. Now, that's when if you want to read a talk show host book about, you know, how he finds something funny or his, you know, his life story or whatever. I mean, I don't think there's a problem with that. But when these people that do these talk shows start imagining themselves as the purveyors of wisdom and philosophy and, oh, my goodness, look what's happened to our country and the founding fathers would never. And all these right wingers, I'm telling you, the only thing that you can decently do, the only decent thing to do with that book is page by page, use it as asswipe. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. That is the name of our latest lecture, which will be available online. I'm only kidding.
You ought to do a podcast. You know, a lot of people say, I'm still going to do a podcast.
Well, we have the podcast of our show. That's good enough for now.
A lot of people think I do a different podcast than that one.
That's what a lot of people think. That's great. And, you know, I will take that under advisement. But right now, what I want to concentrate on is that people enjoy our website and the podcast of our current show that we're doing right now here at TRN. Okay. I think we have a little bit more news to get through here tonight. I know I've got Don Mixa on the line, and Don's going to talk to us about getting into, for Don, something that is pretty, you know, I would say that's a pretty standard run-of-the-mill thing. To get into the stock game by purchasing stock and, you know, being fairly successful with it. And Don Mixa joins us now from Seattle. Don, how you doing?
Very good, Phil. How you doing?
And I wanted to talk to you, unless it sounds like you're running a bath.
I'm running a little bit of a bath right now. And just had a kind of a tough day at school and just got in from a teacher at a conference that we had over at the campus and so on.
Okay. Don, you play the stock market, don't you?
I do play the stock market, yeah.
And you're pretty good at it.
Well, I like to think that I know what I'm doing, but I have made money, yeah.
I just saw a story today about Groupon, and Groupon is, their IPO is $20, initial public offering of $20, and I wondered what you thought of that as an investment.
Well, I have to tell you, Phil, that I'm not, I consider myself to be an anti-capitalist. I'm a liberal, and I'm a progressive liberal, and I do have certain connections on campus with students that admire me for my liberal leanings and my philosophy. So as a result of that, or because of that, you know, as a result of that, or because of that, I don't know which it is, I do not believe in capitalism. I think it is a corrupt and degenerate system.
And yet you play the stock market.
Yes, I do play the stock market because I happen to be good at it. And it does it does rankle my conservative friends. I'm going to get up and get a... It does rankle my conservative friends because they can't play the stock market, and they believe in business, and they believe in capitalism, and they get raped. They get raped repeatedly.
You don't believe in capitalism, you make a lot of money, they believe in capitalism, they get raped.
They get raped repeatedly, yeah. I want to get this soap, there's a new soap out. Lavender.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, thanks a lot for walking into my bathroom.
World Famous Phil Henry Show is produced by our good friends Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, and Phil Henry, another good friend of mine. Join us online at philhenryshow.com, and we'll see you tonight for more on the World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.